Welcome to the Stay Ready Real Estate Podcast, where we stay ready so you don't have to get ready. I'm Emeka, your host, and this podcast is all about real estate, investing in real estate. I invest in multifamily, and I'm here to show you that regular people can invest in real estate. You don't need to have billions or millions. It's regular people like you and I who can invest in real estate today. So on this podcast, you'll hear from myself, as well as I'll bring different real estate professionals on from around the world to talk about their investing journey, strategies, market insights, or how they got into real estate so you can get started today as well. Stay ready, my friends. Hope you enjoy. What's going on, Stay Ready fam? It's your boy, Emeka. And today we're going to talk about how I scaled from 0 units to 32 units. And I have a W-2 job. I have a life. I'm married. I have 2 dogs got to take care of. And the reason why I'm saying this is because if I can do it, you can do it. And it's simple. It's simple. I'm not going to say it's easy because it's not easy, but it's simple. It's one step at a time, one foot in front of the other, one task at a time, right? Doing multiple things at once is not the way to get there. Just slow grinding is a way to achieve your goals. So what is Emeka's story? Well, it all starts back from when I was a kid, right? Whenever I was a kid, I grew up moving dozens of times from elementary to high school. And the reason why we move so much is because, renting is not necessarily the cheapest if you don't make that much money. I was a kid, of course, but my mom did a great job raising me and trying to keep me out of the bad neighborhoods. But living in Austin, Texas, the discrepancy and the difference between the bad neighborhoods and the good neighborhoods when it comes to rents were significant. And my mom didn't want me to be in a bad neighborhood. She wanted me to go to college and get a degree and hopefully go to the NBA. And I did not end up in the NBA, but I did go to college. But regardless, I struggled. I struggled. I struggled. I struggled. And I say I do mean we were homeless at one point. When I say we were homeless, we got evicted. We had nowhere to go. Stuff is out in the front of our door. We ended up staying with our grandma at like maybe like a 300 to 400 square foot apartment. It was me, my mom, my brother. I slept on the floor. My brother slept in the window, not in the window, on the bed next to the window. And my mom slept on the couch. It was a struggle, right? Sometimes we didn't know what we were going to eat. Sometimes I had no idea if, we would have enough gas to make it to practice, have enough gas to get to the games. Summertime was very expensive, right? Playing AAU, having people record the games, it was expensive, right? All these costs add up, especially if you're struggling just to go check to check. And I knew that, right? It wasn't, I went to a very nice high school, the number one high school in the state at the time I was there with academics. So that wasn't easy. That wasn't easy. And I struggled in high school, right? It's not like it was easy for me to pass classes, right? During lunch, senior and junior year, right? People are going out every day. I had free lunch through the school because we qualified for that, right? We didn't make enough to, eat out or bring our own lunches. So I had to qualify for free lunch, right? It was a pizza, maybe some pineapples and some milk, right? It wasn't, I'm a big boy. I'm an athlete. I need to eat a lot more than that. But the reason I bring that up is because I struggled. My family struggled my entire life, essentially. And going through that, I knew that once I got to college and got through college, that is a life I do not want to live. And that is not a life I wanted my family, my future family, my future kids, grandkids to live. So I knew that, number one, once I got to college, I wasn't going to the NBA, right? I knew that. I knew that off the bat, right? I liked basketball. I was decent at it, and I was decent enough to get a full ride. But that was about it, right? So knowing that, I didn't, I worked hard in basketball. I would argue that I could have worked harder. If I had the same mindset I had now in college, I could have maybe went somewhere, did something, but I didn't. I should have worked on my game. But that's besides the point. The point I'm making is I knew where I didn't want to be, and I knew what it was going to take in order to get to my goals. So my goals was to never live in poverty, never struggle like that ever again. And we're gonna fast forward here. I graduate college, I got the degree, and I got the career. And I thought I was the richest man on earth. I got a job with a Fortune 250 company making 44 grand a year. And I had enough to pay all my bills. I had enough to save, and I had enough to have a lot of fun. And those are the three components that I was measuring, right? That's why I felt I was on top of the world. But what I quickly realized was, even though I'm making this much money, I'm living great, I was going to work, coming home, sleep, wake up, go to work, coming home, sleep, wake up. And even though I am so grateful for that job, I love that job still, it wasn't for me, right? And what I mean by that was, I've always wanted to take a month vacation. I've always wanted to take a month vacation overseas without having to worry about anything. I want to be able to take a week break without asking permission from somebody else, right? I love what I do, and I'm okay with that. That's what it takes to, be a contributing American, right? Working a job and then contributing to the economy. But that wasn't enough for me, right? And I was 22 at the time, and I believe the average retirement at the time still was 65. So 43 more years of just working, coming home, asking permission, working, coming home. I only have a certain amount of sick days. I can only be sick for a certain amount. It just didn't make sense, right? Where was I going to be able to just take off if I wanted to? Take off a week vacation, or maybe I'm feeling crazy, right? It's not like I'm going to do that all the time, but I want to be able to do it and not have to ask to do it. And I want to be able to do whatever I want to do when I want to do it. And that's when I quickly realized that having a W-2 is not going to be it. I have to find a side hustle. I have to find something else to bring me income where I don't have to rely on the job, right? The economy goes up and down, so your job is not secure. I don't care what anyone says, there is no job that is secure. And whenever I went to Google, typed in side hustles, I found Meet Kevin, Max Maxwell, and Graham Stephan. And one of the three things they all had in common was real estate. So I found real estate. I listened to biggerpockets.com. I, read as many books as I could. I listened to the Audible books, and I took action. Taking action was the most important thing that I could ever do. And from the time that I realized that there needed to be something else, I started saving. I saved for 1 year. And I would argue I had analysis paralysis for maybe 3 to 4 months of the years. But once I moved to Kansas City, back to Kansas City, I went after I graduated college, moved back down to Austin, Texas, where I'm from, moved back up to Kansas City. I bought my first house. And it wasn't that hard, quite frankly, right? I saved the money, I got pre-qualified, and I figured out, I literally looked on Zillow, saw a house, bought it, fixed it up, rented it out. And there's some nuances that go into that. But if I were to continue to wait, read books, figure out the perfect way to get things done, I would have never done anything. There is no perfect way. No matter how many podcasts you listen to, how many books you read, everyone's going to have their own different story, and everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. So the way I got to my first deal was just taking action and not being scared. I was always thinking about the worst case scenario. And the worst case scenario was, if I bought this house, I had a bad tenant that wouldn't pay, but I could personally cover the mortgage payment if I need, right? So if they're not paying, I could cover it. I'd have to get them out, and I can go through those processes. I can Google it. AI wasn't as popping then, but you can Google things then. And now you can use AI for literally almost everything. So there is no excuses of having to find something out. But that first deal, I got a little bit of taste of what it's like to cash flow in real estate. And I got addicted. The next deal, next year, that was 2020, I believe. Next year, 2021, I have momentum. Momentum is one of the best things that you can have. And when you have that momentum, you can easily feel it, take advantage of it, use it, and use it and use it in every aspect of your life, because momentum is a great feeling. You won't always have it. I call it investor's block, but you know when people have writer's block and they can't think of what to write about, things like that. Well, sometimes I have investor's block, and I just don't know what to do. But when you have that momentum, you know what to do. Everything is flowing, so use that momentum. So I bought that first property in 2020. Next year, saved up. Found a partner, found the flip, and did that process. It wasn't the best. It wasn't the best, period, point blank, right? And I feel bad because my partner, I don't know, he was expecting better. But I promised him that he's gonna at least break even. And he did, and I lost money. And that's okay, because I learned so much from that deal. The biggest lesson I learned was don't upgrade your house with rental vanities, rental lights. Don't make your house look like it's a rental if you plan on flipping it, if you plan on selling it. When people are buying their first home, even if they're second or third home, they're going to be living in that for a long time. So when people are looking at these houses, they don't want to feel like this is a renter's home or a temporary home. They want to feel like it's their home that they can be proud of. And even though the flip was a nice property, I still think we did okay. It wasn't a home that a buyer could truly be proud of. And that's why I lost $8,000. And now you're listening, oh my gosh, he lost $8,000. I don't want to lose $8,000. At some point, you will lose money in real estate. And if you don't lose money, then you are the outlier. You're the few. But it's okay. Right now, I'm talking to you, okay, happy, gung ho about real estate, and I lost $8,000 years ago. I am okay. So don't let the scary stuff or the risk stop you from getting to your goals and buying more real estate. Real estate has risk. Is it risky? That's debatable. So after my first home, 2020, had momentum, got my second house with a partner, found capital, and I lost money. He did not. He broke even. Now I'm learning, right? I know how to do a decent rental. I know how to be a property manager because I manage it myself. I know how to do a flip. I know what not to do next time. So now we're talking about my third property, Lawrence, Kansas. And I love that property. It's amazing. My goal with that is mainly experience and cash flow. That was a goal, but I was living in it a little bit. But I did a short-term rental, bought it, fixed it up, pulled the HELOC to pay the contractors, and did a short-term rental. It did well. I quickly realized that that takes a lot of active work. If you want to have your processes in place to handle the turns and the cleanings and all that good stuff, you can do it. You can make it hands-free. It's still active no matter how many people you delegate. I even went to the point where I had a co-host who did everything for me, but he took 20% and that didn't work. So, with that being said, that was my third property. It's currently for sale and I will make money on it, right? It won't be much, but I made money on it. But with those three properties, I learned so much and I learned what it takes to get a deal. And with those three properties, I learned how to be a property manager and what to look for when I hire a property manager. With the second property, what I also learned was, okay, what are people looking for in a flip? They're not looking for something that everyone and anyone can get at Home Depot and put that in the house, right? Because then they're going to be just like the rest. It also taught me about being better about budgets and sticking to the budget. Budget is simple. You determine how much you need to spend on something and you stick to it. Don't spend more. Period. Point blank. Things happen. That's what contingency for. The third property, what did I learn? I learned that short-term rentals make great money. However, it's very active and not everyone has time for it. And that is not something I'm passionate about. So the only way I'll do a short-term rental again is if I have the time and the passion or a partner who has the time and passion where the returns make sense. So with those three deals, single family homes, which is the lowest barrier of entry when it comes to real estate, I learned so much. And for those three properties, the biggest lesson, take action. Take action, take action, take action. If you take action, stop making excuses, educate yourself, but don't try to be perfect. Educate yourself enough where you feel comfortable and confident enough to take on a deal and prepare for mistakes. Action takes care of so many things, right? Someone can learn about real estate, read books, podcasts, get a real estate license, work with brokers, have all the friends in the world, and still not do any deals if they don't take action. If you take action, you're going to learn the most. Action and experience is what's going to help you get over that learning hurdle because you have to. You have no other choice. You have no other choice from the time you buy the deal. You have no other choice but to figure it out until you sell that property. Period, point blank. But with those three houses, I also learned that I'm not getting to my goals fast enough. My goal was to make $10,000 a month cash flow net. And the goal was to make $1,000 a year per property. Excuse me, per month per property. I quickly realized that single family homes was not going to cut it. So I had to jump to multifamily. Right after the third house, I networked, I joined a mastermind. I highly recommend finding a credible mastermind that you can learn, network with people who are actually active in doing deals, buying deals, have money, want to be LP, GP, all that, you name it. But I highly recommend a mastermind like MIH, Make It Happen Mastermind. Reach out to the owners, Hadar and Marco. And it's a great mastermind. And the reason why I highly recommend joining a mastermind, which I did, I'm not telling you to do something I never did, which I did is once I joined that mastermind, they were real with me. They let me know what it takes to get into bigger deals. And that was syndication and that was value. And my value was going to be being a boots on the ground for a team. And I found the team in Florida. I lived in Kansas City. I hate the cold, still don't like the cold till this day. And I moved to Florida, packed my bags. I just got married. My wife, did she like that? Maybe, maybe not. Whatever it was. But I moved, packed my bags, moved to Florida to be boots on the ground in order to achieve my goals. Once I joined that mastermind, excuse me. Once I joined that mastermind, 10 months later, I got into a 10-unit deal. And the way you make money is if you have capital you can put in the deal, then you get distributions with that deal. I didn't have much capital, but I'm an active partner in that deal. So I basically manage the deal with my partners, and I have an equity percentage in that deal. And once we sell the property, I'll get a check based off the equity percentage of what is stated at the beginning of in that deal. So even though it's not making cash flow, I get to learn so much on what it takes to communicate with brokers, negotiate deals, work with attorneys, work with insurance companies, work with inspectors, work with all those good things, and work with a team. You get so much further with the team. And the reason why I say that is because about 4 to 5 months later, after we got the 10-unit deal, we got a 16-unit deal. And even though I am making some cash flow and some of it with distribution, because I got to the point where I could put some capital into the deal, I have another equity percentage of a bigger deal with a bigger price tag on it. And why is that so important? It's because once we sell those deals, I'm going to have a lump sum of cash that I can put into more deals to make bigger lump sums, or I can put it in a smaller multifamily, or I can put it in a flip. But regardless, thinking in the future, those big checks are going to help me get to that cash flow deal. I like my W-2. What I did was I looked in the mirror, looked at where I was today in my life. I have a good W-2. I'm in my 20s, no kids, and we don't plan on having kids soon. So I don't necessarily need to make the cash flow now. But if I'm getting into these bigger deals and these are 2 million, 5 million, 3 million, 1 million, 800,000, 1% or 2% or 4 or 5% of those numbers are huge. And then that means we'll plan on selling between three to five years. If we sell one property in the third year and then the fourth year and the fifth year, every single year I'll have a check. And then I'll have all this capital to reinvest into deals. And then it's a compounding effect. And then I can invest those deals into smaller deals that bring me cash flow. Or if I get a $100,000 check for one deal, put $50,000 to a smaller duplex that's just mine, no partners, receive maybe $800 of cash flow, put it in another multifamily deal, and then we sell that in 5 years. I buy another duplex, and now I'm 33, and now I have $1,600 of cash flow. Then I have a kid, and then I buy another duplex. Now I have the kid duplex that's covering all the kids' expenses. So there is a bigger goal and a bigger plan with all of this. And the next year after the sixth unit, I got a sixth unit that we closed about a month ago. So with multifamily, I have a team. We all rely on each other's strengths, don't focus on the weaknesses. And we're slowly building equity and we're slowly preparing for our future to get to our goal to eventually make about 10 grand a month net cash flow. And then we'll eventually get to a point where we don't need to raise so much money from other people. And just solely stick with this team, do JVs, and just continue to recycle the money. But it starts with the roots. And the root is you and I getting started into the real estate by taking massive action. I have 32 units to date. And I will say the reason why I'm in those units is not only because I have value, I'm boots to the ground. It's hard to do what I do. And I do it well, but I took massive action. If you want to do anything in life, and especially if you want to cash flow in real estate, you must take action. Take action, take action, take action. And that is the biggest hurdle for people. People will talk about they don't know where to start, this and that. Books will tell you, YouTube will tell you. Even if you know, what are you going to do with the knowledge? The knowledge means nothing if you're not taking action. So on this episode, you just listened to my why, struggled all my younger life. And that's the reason, that's what motivates me, because I never want to be in that position again. You saw me do deals. I bought three single family homes year after year after year, and I learned from it. And experience was the best teacher. And then I quickly realized that multifamily would be great because now I can get an equity percentage and reinvest that and put some of my money and then expect big lump sum checks in the future. But because I took action, I know what I want and know how to get there. I know that I won't be making necessarily cash flow when I'm in these big deals unless I'm putting a big chunk of capital in the deals. However, because I know that, I know I need to start diversifying a little bit more, maybe doing the flip here, doing a flip once a year, once a quarter, and put some of those funds in the real estate, put some funds in savings. So the reason I mention that is once you take action, you will be ahead of 90% of people who talk about real estate. You'll be ahead of all those people who say real estate's bad, because it's not bad. It's great. You just got to do it the right way. Call me. Email me, reach out to me. I am your friend and I am the one that's going to help you get to your next deal. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Until next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Stay Ready Real Estate Podcast, where we stay ready so you don't have to get ready. If you enjoyed this podcast today, please give me a like and subscribe and tune in next week so you can hear another one. If you ever want to reach out to me, I'd love to talk to you about real estate. If you're ever interested in any of the deals that I have, I'm based here in Central Florida, reach out. My information is below. Hope to see you next week. Stay ready, my friend.